It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, drama. Later on, we hear the story of Rip Van Winkle from Washington Irving on your Playhouse of Favorites. But right now, it's Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Radio royalty at the time on CBS from May 7th, 1953. If you were tuning in the Los Angeles area at that time, you could have heard Bob Hope, The Family Theater, or The Lone Ranger, or on KNX, this broadcast of Anton Chekhov's The Bear.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Kathy Lewis, Elliot Lewis, two of the most distinguished names in radio, appearing each week in their own theater, starring in a repertory of transcribed stories of their own and your choosing. Radio's foremost players in radio's foremost plays. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Lewis.
Good evening. May I present my wife, Kathy.
Good evening.
Anton Chekhov was a great playwright and short story writer.
He also wrote some wonderful one-act plays.
Walter Brown Newman is a tremendously gifted young author who's written radio and motion pictures and television and about everything else that a gifted young author can write.
Anton Chekhov lived in Russia and is dead. Walter Brown Newman lives in California and is alive.
And tonight, we're going to do his adaptation of Anton Chekhov's wonderful one-act play, The Bear.
Away, used to sing so for your sake. Now there's sadness in the notes that come trilling from the throat.
Excuse me, ma'am. It's only me and Shorty.
Oh, come in, boys. Can't seem to find my kerchief.
Oh, right there, ma'am. Next to the late lamented mustache curb.
Thank you, Luke.
Didn't mean to interrupt nothing.
I was only sitting here looking at his picture.
Elegant, wasn't he, Shorty?
He purely was.
Thank you. You're both knobby-looking yourselves this morning. Smell good, too.
Ed Pinaud, Mom. I reckon us fellas in the bunkhouse used a gallon of Ed Pinaud for slick-em-up, didn't we, Shorty?
We purely did.
Well, Colonel Roosevelt and his Rough Riders don't have a reunion every day. All the boys started for town?
He hasn't. Me and Charter was fixing to leave ourselves. There won't be a soul left on the ranch.
That's all right. I'm used to being lonely now.
Oh, change your mind and come with us.
No.
Mom, I'm going to speak a little piece. I've been cook with this outfit ever since the poor defunct first owned it. And, well, Mom, what you're doing to yourself, it just ain't right.
It purely ain't.
You're destroying yourself. Today's the day to make your heart bust with gladness, it's that pretty. Everybody's out for a good time. Why, even the cat on the porch is enjoying life. She's a-laying there on her back in the sun, a-switching her tail and a-purring like an organ. You ought to be doing the same. But instead, you squat in this parlor with the curtains down from one day to the next and don't pleasure yourself never. I reckon it's a whole year since you left the house.
I'll never leave the house again. Buck lies in his grave, and this is my grave. We're both dead.
No, Mom. That's just it. You ain't dead. And you can't be gnashing your teeth and wailing and mourning the dear departed forever. It ain't right never to see no one or never to pay any call on nobody.
We won't discuss it any further. When Buck died, my heart died. I'll mourn him the rest of my life. Wherever he is, he'll see how much I love him.
Oh, Mom, please. Let me harness Blackie for you and drive you to town.
Oh.
What'd I say?
Blackie. was his favorite. What a rider he was. He looked like part of the horse. Before you leave, give Blackie a lump of sugar. A big lump.
Yes, Mom.
Tell him to go away. I won't see anyone.
Go tell him, Shorty.
Oh, Buck. See my tears. See how I forgive you. See how I love you.
Please, Mom, get hold of yourself.
You can't understand.
Why, sure I can. When my old woman took sick one time, I just couldn't bear it. Sarah, I'd say to her, Hurley in there, Sarah, I'd say, I wish you'd get well, her son. But, Mom, you got to get the bulge on it.
Ma'am, there's a fella says he's just got to see you.
Didn't you tell him I see no one? Throw him out.
Throw it? Why, ma'am, he stands about 18 hands at the shoulder.
You have a gun on your hip?
He's got two on his, and a knife in his boot.
Ma'am, allow me to present myself. Stephen Gregory, owner of the Bar Circle Y. I'm here in a matter of the greatest importance.
What is it you want?
Your late husband died, $1,200 in debt to me. The interest on the mortgage on my place is due tomorrow. I'd like you to pay me the money today.
$1,200? What for?
Partly for oats bought and delivered, the other $1,150 piled up cutting for high card.
If my husband died in debt to you...
I have his IOUs.
If he owed you money, you'll be paid, but not today. I won't have a large enough sum in the bank until the day after tomorrow, so I cannot oblige you this morning. If you'll excuse me, I'm in no condition to give financial matters my attention.
And I'm in a condition which, if I don't pay off that mortgage, will oblige me to blow out my brains. They'll take my ranch.
You'll get your money the day after tomorrow.
I don't want it the day after tomorrow. I want it today.
You'll have to excuse me. I cannot pay you.
You'll have to excuse me. I insist that you pay me.
If I can't, I can't.
Is that final?
That's final.
Absolutely?
Positively.
Gracias, muchas gracias. And everyone wants to know why I can't keep my temper.
I'll thank you to leave now.
I need money. I spent all day yesterday riding from one deadbeat to another. They owe me a fortune. I can't collect a penny.
Will you get out of here?
I'm tuckered out. I'm 70 miles from home. I slept in a saloon last night with a brandy keg for a pillow. I finally come here. It's my last hope. And what do I get? I'm in no condition to give financial matters my attention. Why shouldn't I be in an uproar?
I distinctly told you my banker would pay you the day after tomorrow.
I didn't ride all this way to see your banker, but to see you. What the devil have I got to do with your banker?
Shorty, go after the boys. Quick, fetch them back. Now, sir, will you leave or will you stay here, bullying a woman and a widow, until my hands return and give you your just deserts?
Is it my fault you're a woman? Is it my fault you're a widow? Do I have to pay off my mortgage or don't I? What do you expect me to do when my creditors come? Strip down to my long johns and pretend I'm a ghost?
Luke, don't just stand there.
Mr.
I go to Tim Reed and I break his nose. Still he won't pay. I beg Henry Dawson with a 2x4 and he won't pay. And you, you're in no condition to give financial matters your attention. Not one of you pays up. Just because I'm too gentle with you. Just because I'm waxing your hand.
Mr.
Shut up! Who are you talking to? I'll cut your heart out. I tell you this, ma'am. If you think you can diddle me out of my money just because I'm a gentleman, think again. The pitcher has gone to the well once too often.
Sir, I have never diddled anyone. And I am not accustomed to being addressed in that tone of voice. I've been as patient as I can, but my patience is at an end. Good day.
So's my patience at an end! Even a worm turns!
Well, I reckon I'll be drifting along.
Beautiful manners your boss has. Just beautiful. Does she think she can treat me like this and get away with it? Does she?
I don't write
I came here to be paid, and I will be paid. Is it warm in here? I'm so mad I'm dying of heat. Why are the windows closed? Why are the curtains drawn? A little air in here. I get so worked up when people shove me around. Take advantage of my good nature. Treat me like I had no feelings. Bartender!
Me?
Give me some whiskey or some water or something. Pronto. Who can make sense out of a woman? I leave it to you. Can you make sense out of the way a woman thinks?
Well, you got to try and understand.
Going loco. I need money so bad, and she won't pay because she's in no condition to give financial matters her attention. That's the way a woman thinks. Does it make sense?
You got to try and understand.
Where's that drink? I'd rather try to reason with a mule than a woman. A mule will meet you partway. A mule's a miracle of logic compared to a woman. I can't abide women. Never could, don't now, not likely to ever. I get mad even when I see one from a distance. Where is she?
Well, stretched out, most likely. She's been poorly. She ain't used to seeing folks. Bourbon all right?
Give me a bottle. Been poorly, has she?
Ever since Buck died.
Yeah, well, she's not putting anything over on me. You hear me, wherever you are? You're not putting anything over on me with those dimples and those bright eyes and those widow's weeds. I can't be diddled. I've been around. I've seen the elephant and heard the owl. Oh,
please, please. She's so low in spirits.
So am I low in spirits. I'll match my spirits against hers any time for lowness. Fine hospitality, I must say. Gorgeous hospitality. In the middle of a conversation, she stalks out like a turkey head.
Well, you can't rightly blame her, not altogether. She ain't used to having a gent call on her, not looking like you look.
What do you mean, like I look? You trying to crowd me?
Well, there's a mirror right there. See if you see it.
Where? Oh. Well, maybe so. A little dusty, but you can't ride for 2 days without getting dusty. And my boots? But how can I trample Billy Clay right in his own pig pen and keep my boots clean? And my pants? I'd like to see her sleep on the floor of a saloon and rise up with fresher pants. She was put out by my appearance, you suppose?
Well, don't exactly inspire confidence.
Well, I know I shouldn't come calling on a lady in her parlor looking like this, but she should have realized the circumstance. Common sense would have told her. That's what I mean. A woman's got less logic than a mule. Anyway, I'm not here on a social call. I'm a creditor. There's no rules for how a creditor should dress.
Just to see.
Shut up!
Sir? I have grown unaccustomed of late to the sound of a man's voice in this house. And I can't stand shouting. I must ask you to go and leave me in peace.
Pay me my money and I'll go.
I thought I'd made it plain. You'll have to wait till the day after tomorrow.
And I thought I made it plain. I don't want the money the day after tomorrow. I want it today. If I don't get it, I'll have to destroy myself tomorrow.
Who drew those curtains? Who opened this window?
I opened the window. I drew the curtains. You expect me to sit in the dark with no air? Am I a gopher? Answer me that. I need to breathe.
How dare you shut that window? Stand aside, sir.
And people ask me why I get angry. Get out of my way.
Hooligan, you bear. How dare you break that window?
Don't try to change the subject. I'm not here to talk about windows. I'm here to get paid.
I don't have the money now.
Then I'll sit here and wait until you do.
Please. I'm not well.
Neither am I after all the popskull I had last night, but I'm going to sit here till I get paid anyway. Have I got a mortgage to meet tomorrow, or haven't I? You can be sick for a week, if you like. All right, then I'll sit here for a week. If you're sick for a year, I'll sit here for a year. You're not putting anything over on me with those widow's weeds and those bright eyes and those dimples. I know those dimples. Now, maybe you'll understand that I won't be diddled.
You bear. You bear. You bear. Out of my house.
As soon as I am paid. I'm not enjoying this. Do you think I'm doing it for a joke?
Stop yelling. This isn't a saloon.
I'm not talking about saloons. I'm talking about the $1,200 you owe me. And the mortgage I have to meet tomorrow.
Don't raise your voice to me. Oh, how dare you behave like this to a woman?
Do you call it etiquette to criticize a guest in your own parlor? I behave very well to a woman.
No, you don't. You have no manners. You're an uncouth man. Decent men don't talk to a woman like that.
What a business. How do you want me to talk to you? Like an Englishman? Ah, my dear, dear lady. What gripping weather. What? And how well you look in mourning. I say.
That's stupid and rude.
Stupid and rude? Ah, I don't know how to behave to a woman. Ah, in my time, ma'am, I've seen more women than you've seen bustle. I've had 3 duels on account of women. I've thrown over 12 of them and been turned down by men. You don't believe me? It's the truth. There was a time when I mooed after women like a sick calf. Almost drowned myself in cologne water. Chewed sen-sen to make my voice soft and my breath sweet. Shaved every day, sometimes twice a day. And wore pink silk garters on my shirt sleeve.
I'm not at all interested.
I made love passionately. Madly, softly, loudly, every which way. I suffered. I howled at the moon like a coyote. I sang love songs, whispered sweet nothings, joined the Emancipation League, and made speeches urging votes for women, but not anymore. You won't get around me like that now.
get around you? Who wants to get around you?
I've had a belly full. Soft cheeks, bright eyes, ruby lips, dimples, the moon, dainty hands. I wouldn't give a cow chip for the lot, man.
Now, you listen
all
to
women.
Me.
All women, present company accepted. All women, big or small, thin or fat, old or young, are unfaithful, crooked, vicious, malicious, envious, vain, petty, trivial, greedy, shallow, merciless, ruthless, lying, unreasonable, where brains are concerned, a horned toad can give cards, spades, a little casino to anything in petticoats and still win the game.
I speak
from experience. You look at one of these dainty creatures, all silks and laces, all gentle smiles and soft sighs, angelic, positively angelic. But when you look into her soul, what do you see? A buzzard. And the most aggravating thing of all, this buzzard, for some reason or other, is convinced that of all the creatures on earth, it and it alone is capable of love. Now, I leave it to you, getting right down to cases. Have you ever met a woman who can love anything but a lapdog? When she's in love, can she do anything but blubber and slobber? A man suffers. A man tears his heart to pieces. A man makes sacrifices. And how does she show her love? By fluttering her fan with one hand and getting a good, strong grip on his nose with the other. Ma'am, you have the bad luck to be a woman. You know yourself that's a woman's nature. Tell me the truth. Have you ever seen a woman who is honest, faithful, steadfast? Of course you haven't. You'll find a cow who can play the mandolin before you'll find a steadfast woman.
You're quite finished.
That's the gist of my remarks, anyway.
And as you see it, when it comes to love, who is it that's honest and steadfast? The man.
Of course it's the man.
The man. Ha! Men! Honest and steadfast, did you ever? You listen to me. I'm going to tell you about men. Where did you ever get the idea that men are faithful in love? I'll tell you about men. I'll tell you about the best man that ever lived, my late husband. I loved that man. I loved him with every part of me, every bone, every drop of blood. I loved him as no other man has been loved before. I gave him everything, my youth, the best years of my life, my joy, my property, everything. I kissed the ground he walked on. I worshipped him. And how did he repay me? He deceived me. There wasn't a day he drew breath that he didn't deceive me. Luke's there. Ask Luke. After he died, I found a whole trunk full of love letters. And when he was alive, it hurts to remember it even now. He'd leave me for weeks at a time, go gallivanting all over the country, and in spite of all that, I loved him and was faithful to him. I'm still faithful to him and true to his memory. I haven't stirred from this house since the funeral. And I'll wear mourning for the rest of my life.
Ha! Mourning? You think that fools me? Don't you think I know why you wear black, why you stay in the house? You want people to say, how spiritual, for love of her husband. She buries herself alive. What sentiment? I'm on to you, man.
How dare you!
You renounce the flesh and the devil, but you curl your hair and you sprinkle yourself with patchouli. I smell it.
How dare you insult
me! Keep your voice down. I'm not one of your hired hands. I won't be yelled at!
You're the one who's yelling! Get out of here!
Pay me and I'll go.
You won't get a cent.
I'll be hanged if I don't.
Not one red penny just for spite. Get out of here.
I'm not your husband and I'm not your intended, so don't make a scene. I don't like
it. Get up from that chair and get out of this house. That was my husband's chair. Get up from it.
The devil with this chair. I come on legitimate business and I get insults. I have no time to waste. And I'm forced to spend the day discussing chairs. There's your chair.
You broke it. You broke the chair!
All I want is what's coming to me.
I refuse to say another word to you. Leave this house!
When the cash is in my hand, not before.
Where's Charlie? Where's Lenny? Charlie! Slim! Chuck! Lenny!
There ain't nobody around, Mom. Shorter's gone to fetch us.
Let them come!
Get out! 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 Get out!
Fine, open-handed hospitality.
You're a hooligan! You're a roughneck! You're a monster! You're a bear!
What did you call me?
A bear! A monster! A bear!
What right have you got to call me names?
I'll call you as many names as I want to. Do you think I'm afraid of you?
And do you think you can call me names just because you're a woman? You think I let people call me names and take away my dignity without protecting myself? We'll shoot it out.
No, hold on now. Well, wait.
With six guns.
You're not scaring me one little bit. I wouldn't care if you were twice as big and yelled 10 times as loud.
We'll shoot it out. Nobody insults me and gets away with it. I don't care if you are a woman.
Bear, 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 bear.
Who says only men have to pay for insults? Who made up that rule? Women are always screaming about equal rights. All right, let's have equal rights all around in everything. We'll shoot it out.
Good. With six guns.
And right now.
Right now. I'll get my husband's gun. You wait right here. I'm going to enjoy pumping bullets into your thick skull. Right between the eyes. Right between the eyes!
I'll bring her down like a chicken. Man, woman, it's all the same to me when I'm insulted.
Oh, mister, please, don't do this awful thing. Leave now before it's too late. Let it go, just scaring her. Don't shoot her.
If she wants to fight, well, that's emancipation. That's equal rights. In matters like this, I support the new woman. I'll shoot her on principle. But isn't she the heller, though? Isn't she a lot of woman? See the way she galloped off for a gun, head up and tail over the dashboard. I'll enjoy putting a bullet in your skull. Did you hear her, huh? And how her eyes sparkled. She didn't back down an inch.
Oh, please, please go away.
She's a real woman. That's the kind I like, a real womanly woman. Not a drooping sack of marshmallow, but with blood in her veins. All fire, all pepper, all gunpowder. Shh, a Roman candle. Shame to kill her.
Oh, no,
I like her. I positively like her. Dimples and all, I like her. I'd be willing to tear up those IOUs. And I'm feeling serene again. I got a grip on my temper. A womanly woman.
All right, now. But before we start, you'll have to show me how to use it. I've never held a gun in my hands before.
Mom, but hey, don't act hasty. I'm going to ride down the road and try to find the boys. Please, just play for time.
It's a fine weapon, ma'am. Good balance, nice heft to it. It's as shiny as your eyes. Nothing as pretty as a Colt 45.
Just show me how to hold it.
The butt goes into your palm like this, and you can either pull the trigger with your pretty little finger or flick the hammer with your tiny little thumb.
Like that?
Just like that. And in aiming it, here, stand in front of me. In aiming it, put your head back a little. And hold your arm out like this. That's it. Then, when you're ready, you fire. Just squeeze the trigger. Squeeze. Don't pull.
Squeeze?
Like a lemon. Well, here, give me your hand. Feel how gentle I squeeze. I just squeeze it gentle. See? Like this.
I understand. I'm ready. Where do we shoot it out? In the yard?
All right, let's go. But I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to fire in the air.
Well, if that isn't the... Why?
Because... That's my business.
You're not yellow, are you? Are you? I'm not going to let you crawl out of this. You come with me. I won't rest easy till I put a bullet in your head. Well, aren't you coming? Are you scared?
Yes, I'm scared.
You're a liar. Why won't you fight?
Because... Well, because I like you.
He likes me. He has the nerve to say he likes me. Come on, into the yard.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me load your gun. Give it to me. Listen, you still mad? I'm a little mad, too, but, you know what I mean? I can't find the words. The fact is, well, it's like this.
Can I help it if I like you? Do you understand? It's all I can do to keep from telling you I love you.
Don't come near me. I hate you.
What a woman. I've never seen one like her. I'm a gone goose. I'm done for. I'm a mouse in a trap.
Get away from me or I'll shoot.
Then shoot. I'd enjoy being killed by a gun held in that soft little hand. You're driving me crazy. Don't talk without thinking and make up your mind right now. Because if I once leave this house, you'll never see hide nor hair of me again. Make up your mind. I'm a rancher. I'm respected in the community. I have 8,000 head of cattle. I can throw 6 whiskey glasses into the air and pulverize them before they hit the ground. I own the fastest horse in the county. Will you marry me?
I want to shoot it out. Let's shoot it out!
I'm out of my mind. I'm in love like a boy. I'm happy as a jaybird. I love you.
Get up. Get off your knees. Let go of my hand.
I love you as I've never loved before. I've thrown over 12 women. I've been turned down by 9. But I never loved any of them as I love you. I'm putty. I'm taffy. I'm wax. I offer you my hand, my heart, my fortune, and my life. Shame on me. Shame on me. I'm mortified as I've never been. I haven't been in love for years. I took an oath. And suddenly, I'm in love like a wolf in a trap. Marry me. Yes or no? You refuse? All right, then.
Wait!
Well?
Nothing. Get out of my house. No! Stop. No. Go away. I hate you. I mean, no, don't go away. My head's spinning. I'm angry. I don't know what I'm saying. What are you waiting for? Get out! Get out!
Goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye. Where are you going? Stop! No, don't come near me. No. No. Stay away from me.
I hate myself for this, falling in love on my knees like a schoolboy. I love you. You think I want to love you, but I love you. It's the last thing I intended. Tomorrow I have to pay off my mortgage and stop my roundup, and here you go ahead. And I'll never forgive myself for this.
Take your hands away. Get away from me. Let's shoot it out. Let's shoot.
Mom! Mom! Say, be ready to shoot, boys. Mom! Well, I just don't believe it.
Oh, Luke.
Yes, ma'am?
Never mind feeding Blackie that lump of sugar.
The Bear, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. In a moment, Mr. and Mrs. Lewis will tell you about next week's play. This Sunday night, hear Lionel Barrymore on your Hall of Fame Playhouse, spotlighting another little-known hero of American history on most of these stations this Sunday evening.
Our thanks to Walter Brown Newman for a lovely adaptation. Can you talk, dear?
Enough to say that Horace Murphy tried unsuccessfully to get the courage to throw me out of your house, and that Byron Kane escaped my violence earlier in the play.
We've done several scripts by another Newman, E. Jack Newman, who is not related to Walter, and his plays have a wonderful effect on all of you. You either violently disliked The Party and Eddie and Casey at the Bat, or you were thoroughly delighted with them. Well, next week we give you an opportunity to once again either violently dislike or be thoroughly delighted as we present E. Jack Newman's new story, Statement of Facts.
Until then, thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Music for tonight's story was arranged and conducted by Fred Steiner. The Kathy and Elliot theme is by Ray Noble. And the program is transcribed and directed by Mr. Lewis. George Walsh speaking.
On Stage, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 7th, 1953 on CBS, an adaptation of Anton Chekhov's The Bear. It was actually heard on radio two other times during its golden age, on Harold Lloyd's comedy Playhouse in 1949 and on the series Romance in 1955. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now a syndicated broadcast of your Playhouse of Favorites with Washington Irving's Rip Van Winkle from May 13, 1948.
From its place on the shelf of immortal romantic classics, we take down the story of Rip Van Winkle. Made a voyage up the Hudson River in the year 1770, you would have noticed a tiny Dutch village nestling peacefully at the foot of the enchanted Catskill Mountains. We say enchanted because for many years the Indians had known that these mountains were the abode of spirits. The comfortable Dutch housewives in this village laughed at the tales told of fabulous pranks played upon travelers in the Catskills. They used these mountains simply as a barometer, for well they knew that every change of weather was indicated by some change in the mystic hues and shapes of these fairy mountains. Our story begins in this little village, where it's here that Rip Van Winkle lives. There are 15 houses in this small village. No, there are 16, counting the inn owned by Nicholas Vedder, which he calls George III in honor of the king. There's one single sleepy street. All the houses face on it. Everybody knows his neighbor. Everyone is quietly at work on a sunny summer morning in the year 1770.
Rip Van Winkle, you lazy lout! You idle, good-for-nothing wastrel, take that!
The dishes, my good wife. Mind the dishes.
The dishes, say you. If 'twere left to your worthless self, there would be no dishes in this house. Take that!
Yes, dear.
'Tis your good fortune the Lord made me a patient woman. No other would have put up with you all these years.
Yes, dear.
And not one word can you say for yourself.
No, dear.
Am I not a good wife?
Yes, dear.
Do I not sweep and dust and cook as well as any woman in the village?
Yes, dear.
And you, Rip Van Winkle, what do you but loaf?
Yes, dear.
And that's all you're good for, you shiftless wretch. To hop from one foot to another, mimicking and finicking like a Paul Paris. What mean you by your yes, dears, and your no, dears?
I mean whatever you wish me to, my dear.
You do not?
Yes, dear.
Well, what keeps you? What holds you standing there like a great oaf when the fences need mending, the cows to be taken out of the cabbage, the fields weeded and the house painted?
There's much work in the world.
Not for you, you lolloping scallywag, you miserable, graceless idler, you lackadaisical simpleton, you lazy...
Good wife, good day. I go for a stroll.
A stroll? To sit on a wet rock with a rod as long and heavy as a Tartar's lance, or carry a fowling piece on your underwork shoulder while you tramp through the woods?
Wolf. Here, boy. Here. There you are. That's a good dog. That's a fine dog.
Father, may I hop, skip, and jump with you over to Dirk Van Brummel's house?
Judith, my little girl, your company pleasures me extremely, but I'm sore afraid you have inherited your good mother's energy. We will walk together.
Father, you don't like work, do you?
It's not so much I dislike work, child, as it is that I find so much more pleasure in other things.
I know, Father. And methinks Mother should not be so harsh with you.
Well, bless my soul, Judith. You're a sweet, true child, but your mother is a good woman, if a bit severe.
And you are a good man, even though you dislike work. I would rather you were my father than... well, than anyone in the whole village.
Judith, stop a moment. Come here and give me a hug. Now we shall walk hand in hand.
Father, when I marry, you may come and...
Marry? What child? You're but 8 years old.
Nevertheless, I shall marry someday. And you may come and live with me. and never do any work at all. Just whittle and fish. And live with me.
Bless your lovely heart, Judith. I should like nothing better.
Good morning, Rip Van Winkle. Morning, little Judith. Fine, warm day.
Good morning, Peter Vanderdonk.
Good morning.
Rip, I'm beginning an addition to the barn. By noon tomorrow, I shall be ready to put it up. No man can make a better joint than you.
I'm your man, Peter Vanderdonk. At noon tomorrow, I shall be here. Will you have the tools ready?
That I will. And my thanks to you.
Father, is not helping Peter Vanderdonk work?
Tis aiding a neighbor, child.
I, too, shall help my neighbors when I grow up.
Judith, it's plain to see that there's a good deal of me in you.
But I shall not help them all the time.
And some of your good mother, too. Here's Dirk Van Brummel's house.
Would you like me to accompany you to the inn, Father?
It would please me greatly, but I see Dirk running this way.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Judith. Come along, Wolf.
What a pleasant, drowsy place was the courtyard of the inn. On the bench there, you'd always find the schoolmaster, Derek Van Riper, Nicholas Vedder, patriarch of the village, the owner of the George III, Brom Dutcher, Rip Van Winkle, another pleasant, idle men of the village. There they'd pass the long, lazy summer day talking listlessly over village gossip or telling endless, sleepy stories about nothing.
Good tomorrow to you, Rip.
Good day, Mynheer Vedder.
Derek Van Riper, if you would shift yourself 2 paces to the left, mayhap Rip could find a seat in the shade.
Aye, but it's too much bother.
I thought as much. Tell me, Derek, when you teach school...
It's unnecessary to stand, Rip. That's why I chose teaching as a profession.
Politics would answer the same purpose, Derek.
Mayhap, but in politics is more hustle.
And grown-ups are not as pleasant to deal with as children.
Speaks the bachelor from that.
A bachelor always loves children.
Mayhap, because he has none of his own.
It's too warm today to dispute your necklace.
I hear that Peter Vanderdonk will add to his barn.
Aye. But you said you will help him build, Rip.
Noon, tomorrow.
To my way of thinking, it is most unnecessary. The schoolhouse could better use an addition.
And not until we marry our Brown Dutcher and a few other bachelors.
Never fear, Nicholas. I shall marry soon enough, and you shall miss my company.
Is your son as handy at carpentry as you, Rip?
I know not. He's never tried it.
Or anything else.
He's not only named after you, but takes after you greatly.
Even more than little Judith, I say.
And what say you, Rip?
I have not thought on the matter.
Oh. What, Derek, off so soon? Where's the hurry man?
I see Dame Van Winkle hastening this way. Take no offense, Rip, but I cannot stomach her clever joint.
Not, gentlemen. Tis my wife, and tis I shall leave, if you'll be so kind as to hand me my fowling piece, Nicholas.
With all my heart.
Hasten, Rip, hasten.
Fear ye not, gentlemen. My good wife shall not catch up with me this day. I'm for the Catskills, and tonight I shall dine on rabbit. Fine dog and the two friends. I fear my good wife leads your dog's life of it, but never mind. While I live, you'll never want for a friend to stand by you. Come along now. It's growing late, and Dame Van Winkle will have... What is it, Wolf? What did you see? Oh, silly dog is not for a little old man. Quiet, Wolf. Oh, never have I seen dressed like that in these parts. Look at his jerkin and the buttons down the side of his breeches. Rabbit Wolf. Good evening, stranger. That's a good-sized keg for you to be carrying. That's right. Put it down. Rest a while. I said good evening. What's that? You want me to help you with the keg? My, my, you are a silent one. Why didn't you say so instead of pointing? Very well, very well. I'll gladly give you a hand. Where are we taking it? Up the Catskills. I hope it's not far. It's powerful heavy. There we are. Quiet, Wolf. What have you in this cake? From the gurgling, I should say it was liquor. You can nod your head. That's Rip Van Winkle to smell out good liquor, even in the Catskills. Want to go this way?
Well, well, as you wish.
Thought of a good drink this evening.
What's this? Is this where you live? What? Bless me.
They all look like you. They have your brothers?
Bless the soul of plain land.
Get rid of that load. Well, now I'll see if your relatives are as unsociable as you are. Hello there. Hello. It is I, Rip Van Winkle, saying hello. What's the matter with you? Don't you hear well? They hear me because they're not. Is it that you can't speak? That's it, you can't speak. Well, a whole family of you. Strange, old, disreputable-looking family, too. Why, now, there's a strange thing. Are there no women in this family?
What? No women at all?
It's a blessing, in a way. My, oh, my, oh, my, you boys certainly drink a good lot. Almost as much as sailors. Now I have it. That's what you mind me of. Good old Dutch sea.
Bless the soul. That's it. This Henrik Hudson and his crew. Oh.
I'd better be getting home.
Well, gentlemen, I bid you good night now. I must be getting home. What? A drink? Well, if you insist. Just one drink. Oh, my poor head. It's spinning like a top.
Winkle, in the year 1770, went hunting in the enchanted Catskill Mountains to escape the tongue of a shrewish wife. In the mountains, he fell in with strange people who claimed to be the crew of Captain Hendrik Hudson, long since dead, and had given him a queer and potent drink. Rip immediately lost his senses, fell sound asleep. Now for Act Two of Rip and Winkle, starring Will Gear in the title role. Rip awakening on a bright, sunny morning.
Ooh. I like that wicked flagon. Hey, Wolf, we must have slept here through the night. Where is that dog? Wolf? Wolf! Had more sense than I and gone home. Ooh, that flagon, that wicked, wicked flagon. What excuse shall I make to Dean Van Winkle? Well, not for it, but to start home.
Did it? See that shot? Oh, good morning, old man. What are you doing abroad in the mountains so early?
Old man? I care not for that jest.
Oh, your pardon. Pardon. It's just that watching you limp along so slowly, I thought...
I have slept all night here, and these mountain beds do not agree with me. I'm sore and stiff.
And which way go you now?
To the village.
Oh, that's my way, too. Tell me, those clothes you're wearing, are they the new fashion?
These clothes are... Oh, lack less. I shall have a blessed hard time explaining these rags and tatters to my good wife.
To say nothing of your grandchildren.
Grandchildren? I have no grandchildren. My little daughter is but 8 years old.
Good for you, old man. I like your spirit. Tell me now, have you shot anything with that gun of yours lately?
Why, it was but yesterday I killed 3 rabbits with this fine...
Careful. Watch your beard. Huh? It's caught the barrel.
Oh, beard? So I have... Lackadame, a fowling piece. What is this rusty antiquity? It is not my gun. Those men must have made off with mine and left this rusty thing in its stead.
Men?
Aye, they gave me a drink last night.
I'd say you'd had more than one drink, Grandpa. Many more than one. But yonder's the village. I'm off from some hunting.
The village? Oh, well, Lord bless my soul. What's come over it? Just teeming with life. Some event of great import must have occurred to warrant all this activity.
Old man, you're a rare one, all right. But if you'll take my advice, you'll get a better tale than the one you told me for your good wife.
And so Rip and Winkle came back to the village where he'd been born, where everybody had known him and loved him, found himself a stranger. Strange faces were in the streets, strange names on the doors. There were rows of houses which he'd never seen before. And those which had been familiar haunts had disappeared. Rip wandered through streets unknown to him, trying to find his house. And when he finally reached it, it was empty, forlorn, abandoned.
That flagon last night has addled my poor head sadly. There seems to be no one about, and I hear not even the sharp voice of my good wife. Dame Van Winkle. Judy, where are you, my dear? My son? Dame Van Winkle? Judy? Come out and stop hiding. Alas, something Very strange has happened to me.
Wolf. Come here, wolf, old dog.
My very dog has forgotten me. What shall I do? What shall I do?
So a bewildered, frightened Rip Van Winkle hastened forth looking for the bench in the courtyard of the George III and his old friends, Nicholas Vedder, Bram Dutcher, Derek Van Riper. But when he approached it, he found it greatly changed. The sign over the door read, "The Union Hotel, Jonathan Doolittle, proprietor." And there was a lean, fierce fellow haranguing a crowd in the people's yard where Rip and his friends used to chat so peacefully.
Citizens of the United States of America, this is your Congress and your election. We must make sure that Congress is filled with honest men, the heroes of 76, not the weak bleed dabblers of 72.
Yeah, I agree.
We have gained our liberty. We must make sure now that we do not lose it.
Right.
Vote right, I say. Here, come forward and take these handbills. They will help you elect the proper men to our first Congress. Come forward and support the Constitution.
Here, old man, how are you voting? Federal or Democrat?
I have no idea what you mean.
Then ask him what brings him to the election with a gun on his shoulders.
Aye, were you hoping to breed a riot with your old gun and your outlandish costume?
But gentlemen, alas, I'm a poor, quiet man, a native of the place, and a loyal subject of the king.
What?
God bless you.
The Tory!
Fire!
No, no, please, gentlemen, please. I meant no harm.
Seize him!
Hold a moment. Let's hear what he has to say. We have free speech here now.
I understand nothing of what you good gentlemen are saying. Upon my honor, I merely came here in search of some neighbors.
If that's true, name them.
Where's Nicholas Vedder?
Nicholas Vedder? Why, he's dead and gone these 18 years. There was a wooden tombstone in the churchyard that used to tell all about him, but that's rotten and gone, too.
Where's Bram Dutcher?
Oh, he went off to the army in the beginning of the war.
War?
Some say he was killed at the storming of Stony Point. I don't know. He never came back.
Where's Derek Van Riper, the school teacher?
He went off to the wars, too. Was a great militia general.
And is now in Congress.
Does nobody here know Rip Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle? To be sure, that's Rip Van Winkle yonder, leaning against the tree.
And an idle, good-for-nothing wastrel he is, too.
Well, who are you? What's your name?
God knows. I'm not myself. I'm somebody else. That's me yonder? Oh, no, that's somebody else got into my shoes.
Now. Just sit down and rest, old man. You're all excited.
And so would you be if you were in my place.
I think we'd better have the gun now, old man.
I said he might do someone a mischief.
There's no harm in him, but he might hurt himself.
I'm not mad, I tell you.
No, of course not. Just give us the gun.
I tell you, I went hunting rabbits yesterday, and I fell asleep on the mountains. And they changed my gun, they took my dog, and they changed everything.
Of course. And now if you'll just...
Why, won't you believe me?
I believe you. Where do you live?
I live yonder, down the street. My wife is gone, my children are gone, the house is empty.
Now, if you went hunting yesterday, you should have known that Bram Dutcher wasn't here.
Nor Nicholas Vedder.
But they were, I tell you. I spoke to them, and Peter van der Donk, too.
You better lock him up.
Hush, hush, baby. Hush, sweet. We just want to look at the old man.
Huh?
He won't hurt you.
Who's that? I know that voice. Who's that?
Let her through. Make way there. Let her pass.
What's your name, my good woman?
Judith Van Bern.
And your father's name?
Oh, poor man. Rip Van Winkle was his name, but it's 20 years now since he went away from home with his gun. And has never been heard of since. His dog came home without him. I was then but a little girl.
And your mother?
She died, too. She broke a blood vessel in a fit of rage.
Judith, do you not know me? I am your father. Young Rip Van Winkle once. Old Rip Van Winkle now. Do you not know your old father?
Why? Let me come closer. Oh, Father. Dear Father. But, Father, what happened to you? Did you run away from home?
No, child. I went hunting in the Catskills and I met Hedrick Hudson and the crew of the Half Moon.
Oh.
They gave me a drink and that started all the trouble. Oh, I confess I was warned against taking it.
Yes, Father, I know. You don't have to tell me any more. I remember how Mother used to scold you, and I can't say that I blame you.
Judith, listen to me. You were there when I promised to help Peter Vanderdonk build an addition to his barn today at noon. You heard it.
Now, Father, you know as well as I that was 20 long years ago. Peter is dead. There's no need
Judith,
to...
I swear to you, I fell asleep only last... Well, seems like only last night to me. I was on the mountain...
Father,
and...
do you remember what we were talking about 20 years ago?
Well, let me see. It's just like yesterday, there was Peter Vanderdonk.
No, not Peter.
Oh, yes. You were talking about getting married and how you wanted me to come.
Yes, I wanted you to come and live with me. And I promised that you'd not have to do any work except that which you wanted.
Yes, Judith, but...
Then come along with me and young Rip. You see, I hadn't forgotten you. You'll have naught to do but sleep and fish and hunt all day.
Gladly, my child, but I swear that Hendrick Hudson and those others with him are the ones who gave me that picket and blanket.
Rip and Winkle lived for many years to sit in the courtyard of the Union Hotel telling his story to whomever would listen. And to this day, no thunderstorm comes rolling out of the Catskills over the Hudson Valley, but you'll hear the people say that Hendrick Hudson and his crew are at a game of ninepins again. And it's a common wish of all henpecked husbands in the valley that they might have a draft out of Rip and Winkle's flagon. And so the curtain falls on the story of Rip and Winkle by Washington Irving, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites.
Your Playhouse of Favorites, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 13th, 1948, a syndicated broadcast. And that wraps up this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.